We're in the middle of Torah Yud Zayin in Likutei Moran Tanina. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 48, the left-hand column, almost halfway down the page, in the middle of the Omid that starts with the letter Yud Zayin. This Torah is one of the chapters of Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal talks about the importance of Shabbos and how big a mitzvah it is to be happy on Shabbos and how important the Achila of Shabbos Kodesh is. And we have a few Torahs in Likutei Moran and a few places in Likutei Halachos that Rav Nosson Zal talks about this. We did so far the first few lines where Rabbeinu Zal talks about how important it is to learn the section in the Sefer Reishis Chochmah, which was written by one of the outstanding Talmidim of the Ramak, Rav Moshe Kordaviro, Zechron Avrocha, that the section in his Sefer Reishis Chochmah called Shar HaKedusha, which deals a lot with the topic of Tikkun HaBris and other items like that, one of the major divisions there is devoted to the topic of Shabbos, where he quotes all the places in the Zohar HaKadosh, in Midrashim, in Gemaras, and adding part of his own to explain the Kiddusha of Shabbos Kodesh. And Rabbeinu Zal says that that's highly recommended reading. And Rabbeinu Zal says to study what it says there very, very carefully. So you can imagine how much significance Rabbeinu Zal is putting on what's written there. We're going to continue from where we left off last week by the words Val Yidei Zeh Hayira B'Shleimus. Rabbeinu Zal said that a person has to be very, very careful to be happy on Shabbos, because Shabbos is very, very holy. And Rabbeinu Zal said that a person has to arouse himself very much to receive Shabbos with tremendous simcha. And now this is where we're continuing. And by doing this, by accepting Shabbos properly, that's how a person could be zeche to yira, to fear of Hashem bishleimus. Dehainu imdas, to combine yira and das. Now, this concept of combining Yira and Das is something that's discussed many times in the Likutei Moran. And Rabbeinu Zal bases it on different psukim. One pasuk that we had very early in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal quoted the pasuk, Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem V'Das Elikim Timtza, that only when a person is zeche to understand fear of Hashem, that's when he achieves heavenly wisdom. So we see that Yira and Das are very, very much associated with each other. That's one connection. Number two, we have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where it says, Im ein Yira, ein Chochmah, that without Yira, you don't have true wisdom, that the wisdom of Torah, the wisdom of Elokus, religion, a person cannot achieve without Yira. Or we have the Pasuk Reishis Chochmah, Yiras Hashem, that the introduction to wisdom in religion is fear of Hashem. So we see that these two are very, very much interconnected. Rabbeinu Zal says now that through a person being zeichet to be mekabel Shabbos the right way, he's zeichet to have Yira Bishleimus, which means when the Yira is with Das. When the Yira is with Das. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, Ki b'chol efsher sheyihye hayira im ksilus, because during the 6 days of the week, it's possible for a person's fear of Hashem, or fear b'chlal, to be mixed with foolishness. Be'bechina, says the pasuk, says, Ni'i'i'oiv halo yiroscha ksilosecha, that your fear is your foolishness. So we see that there is a concept of Yira being associated with foolishness. All the foolish phobias that people have, where people are afraid of nothing, where people are afraid of something that they don't really have to be afraid of, is a form of Yira im Ksilus. Ve'ikra ha-Ksilus hu machmas ha-shibud shiesh b'chol. Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that the main concept of foolishness, as it applies to a person, the main concept of a lack of seichel in a person comes because of the yoke that a person has on them during the 6 days of the week, the yoke of Parnosa. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Kel yidei hashibud ein hadas sholim, because when a person feels a responsibility, a yoke of Parnosa, a yoke, this enslavement, this concept of slavery, Avodah, Rabbein Azal says, that of causes a deficiency in the Das. U'kamay shekosuv b'moyov, as the Pasuk says about the nation of Moyov, Sha'anan Moyov Menaurov, that the nation of Moyov was always calm, was always very settled in the mind, u'bagoyla loy holach, and the Pasuk continues to explain why. What was one of the reasons why they were always in a settled frame of mind? Because they were never sent out to Golus. They were never exiled. Moyov was a nation that always remained on their own soil. They were never driven out. Alkein omad ta moyboy, and the Pasuk continues to say, that's why their taste always remained with them, meaning they always had their senses with them. Tam here means tuv tam vodas, a concept of seichel. The reason why the nation of Moyov always had a settled mind and were always able to think clearly was because of agoyla loy holach. They were never exiled. As the Gemara explains in Megillah, that through any yoke that's placed upon a person, a responsibility, a duty, a shibud, an enslavement, or any concept of exile, those two things are together. Exile means a person being forced to leave his house to earn parnosa. In other words, the main tirdas haparnosa means all the unsettledness, the fact that a person has to go out and search for it and work for it. Rabbein Azal says that causes a bilbul hadas. Avol b'Shabbos, but on Shabbos Kodesh, hu cheirus. Shabbos represents a concept of freedom. U'kisheyesh cheirus ve'ein shibud ve'golus, when there is cheirus, when there is freedom, and there's no enslavement or exile, azai hadas sholem, then the das is b'shleimus. What's the highest level in das that a person could achieve? Ayin, what's another word for ayin?
Keser,
the crown. We've mentioned many times that the word go'al in Atbash is keser, showing that ge'ula, redemption, is a concept of meichin, very, very high meichin. Golus is a concept where the das is not b'shleimus. Rabbein Azal brings many times when the Yidden went down to Mitzrayim, what went down to Mitzrayim? The das went down to Mitzrayim. Therefore, the Geula is called Geulas Moshe, where the Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented das, Atorei Sola Das, he was the one who was able to take them out of Golus. Golus is a state where a person's mind is unsettled. How do we know this? Because the Gemara says, Gimel Dvorim Archiv Ndatei Shalodon. There are three things that give a person expansion of the mind. In other words, Meichen Negadlus. One of them is Dironoe, a good apartment, a nice place to live in, your own place. Whereas when a person is not in his own place, he's forced to be in a state of exile. Obviously, that leads to a das pogum, this pigamid das, where he can't think as clearly as when he's sitting in his own apartment, in his own place. So Rabbein Azal says now that Shabbos, which is the concept of freedom, where there is no yoke of parnosa on Shabbos, a person doesn't go to work, there is no shibud, that's why the das is b'shleimus on Shabbos. V'ikar hacherus, Rabbein Azal says the main concept of freedom on Shabbos comes about al yidei hatainug v'hasimcha shel Shabbos. The main freedom that a Jew experiences on Shabbos is only through the pleasures and the happiness that a person feels on Shabbos. Bebechina, says the Pasuk, says, Oz tisanag al Hashem, hanemar b'Shabbos. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya Navi, then, Oz tisanag, you will enjoy the pleasures al Hashem, above Hashem. Oz, the Sfarim always bring, Oz represents Bina. Aleph Zayin is always an Indian of Bina, which is Olam HaCheirus, the 50th level, corresponding to Yovel, which is the whole concept of slaves going free, this whole concept of freedom. Oz Tisanag Al Hashem. Al Hashem is also a concept of Bina, we mentioned many times. Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, represents Zer Anpin. Al Hashem represents Bina, that which is above Zeranpin. Vaideze Nase Cheirus. Through this Oineg, through this concept of Tisanag, through the Oineg Shabbos, the pleasure of Shabbos, through that the person is Zeche to Cheirus, to freedom. Bebechinas ki besimcha teitzeyu. Note, the pasuk says Simcha represents going out. Going out of exile is through Simcha. Rabbi Nezal says, Shal Yidei Simcha Yoytze L'Cheirus. It's through this Simcha and this Oineg. These are the two key words. Oineg means pleasure, the pleasure of wearing new clothes or better clothes, the pleasure of having the house in a neater state than it is during the week, the pleasure of the special foods that we eat on Shabbos. All of this is Bechinas Oineg. Oineg is a concept of Al Hashem, which is an Indian of Cheirus, freedom, Bina, Yovel. Al Hashem is Bina, we said. Simcha is also a concept of Cheirus, a person just being happy, forcing himself to forget anything that would lead to sadness. We know the whole concept of Parnosa is a concept of Atzvos, Be'itzavayin Teichalna, the Pasuk says. So a person taking his mind completely off the Tirdas HaParnosa, any issues related to Parnosa, and swinging it into pure, simple Simcha, Rabbi Nezal says again, Ki b'simcha teitzeyu. That's also a concept of Yoyvel, a concept of going out of Golos. Shaydei Simcha Yoytze L'Cheirus. Ukshiyesh Cheirus, and when there is this freedom, Hadas B'Shleimus Kana. Then the Das is Sholem, as we just explained before, that any defectiveness in Das is only based on this Golos, this Shibud. When a person goes out of the Golos, then the Das becomes Bishlemus. Va'azai Hayiro Koroi. Then, once the Das is Bishlemus, then we know that the Yira is a proper one. Bebechinas, as the Tikkun Ezer says, Yorei Shabbos. That the word Bereishis actually is made up of the letters Yorei Shabbos, which represents the highest level of Yira. That when is the Yorei Bishlemus? When is the concept of Yira Bishlemus? Bedafka on Shabbos. Ki oz hayira balik silus shiesh bibeachol. Then the fear that a Jew experiences then is one that's bishlemus, without any foolishness that is marbled into the yira during the week. Ki Rabbi Nezal says ki ikar haksilus machmas hashibut kanal, because as we explained earlier, any concept of foolishness comes because of this yoke, because of this enslavement. Rabbi Nezal says uboze malin hayirois hanefulois, and with this mitzvah of Oineg and Simcha on Shabbos, a person is zeichet to be male all yiras nefulois, meaning dahinu mashireim lefomim misar ukedayma, this that a person is afraid of any type of official of the king, or animals, or any other type of fears that a person has, he's able to bring about a tikkun for all of them through the mitzvah of Oineg and Simcha of Shabbos. Through Das, a person elevates the Yira. Oz Tov Yiras Hashem, V'Das Alikim Timtza. When is the Yira Bishleimus? When the Das is Bishleimus. V'Ikar Hadas Hu B'Shabbos Ayidei HaSimcha. The main Seichel is B'Dafka on Shabbos through Simcha. What is Simcha? V'Simchas Oilam Al Roisham. Simcha is again another word for the Keser, the crown, the highest level of Meichin. The word Bisimcha, Ivdu as Hashem Bisimcha, is a concept of Machshava. Again, Seichel Bishlemus. The concept of Vigilu Bira'oda, that the key to Ra'oda, the key to the highest form of Yira, this trembling before Hashem, is through Gila, through Simcha. Simcha leads to the purification, the highest form of Yira. Rabbi Nezal says, Shayidezeh yesh cheirus. Through this das, a person is echet a cheirus, va'azai hadas b'shleimus. And then the das is a das sholei, period. So all of this, Rabbi Nezal is emphasizing very much this mitzvah being in Simcha on Shabbos and Oinig Shabbos, because Rabbi Nezal says that it's only on Shabbos that a person can achieve Shleimus Hayira, because during the week, at times, this Yira has a foolishness mixed in with it. As Rabbi Nizal brings proof from a pasuk that associates Halo Yirascha Ksilascha, that there is this association between foolishness and Yira. And Rabbi Nizal says any concept of foolishness is an idiot of Shibud, Golus, because we see the whole concept of Meichen de Gadlus, the whole concept of peace of mind comes about when there's no shibud. The more a person is under the gun and feeling the yoke of parnasa, the less he's able to think straight and think clearly, so that on Shabbos, when we're able to free ourselves completely from this tirdas haparnasa, that's when a person's mayach is bishleimus. When the mayach is bishleimus, the yira is bishleimus. When the yira is bishleimus, Rabbi Nizal says, that makes it that the yira is with das. So both of these items, the yira and the das, are nistakein together. They receive a tikkun together.
What if a person feels that it's dafka on Shabbos that they have the most gilbulim and the most tirda? Does that indicate a problem with the person? In other words, let's say a person feels that on Shabbos they're hit with all sorts of gilbulim relating to family and kids, which they don't have during the week, which in a sense, they're in a groove with work, balancing and Hashem properly, whereas on Shabbos, at times, the same things become unraveled totally. Is that indicate a total lack within the person himself, something the person himself has to daven?
Well, Rabbi Nizal here seems to be implying that Shabbos is the singing of Menucha. This noyach, this inyan of menucha, a person has to see to it to afford himself this menucha on Shabbos, this meichen de gadlus, this to give himself room to be able to have this das. Each person has to search to find for himself time and place on Shabbos. If the place that he's in is a mokim dochuk, then it's not in dirono. It's not something that's marchiv datai. He has to be able to exit from that place. The Gemara says that heavy goyla lemokim taira. That at times, heavy goyla lamakom Torah. We just said that golus is an inyan of meichen de katnus, right? Heavy goyla lamakom Torah seems to imply that there is a time when the golus is a tikkun, where the golus is dafka what brings them. In other words, meaning leaving all the tirdos that go on in the house, being able to exit from that, where a person has to rearrange his schedule to be able to afford himself time, either at night, on Friday night after the kids go to sleep, or Shabbos morning, early in the morning, to try to use those times specifically for learning. Now here Rebbe Zal mentioned and Rebbe highlighted the words of the Gemara, which say Laivri Layla Elal Shinsa, that the whole concept of the long Friday nights that we experience, that's a time, that's one of the outstanding times of the week that a person could really feel a hatzlacha in learning Torah. There's no question about it, that the long winter Friday nights aren't made for making up for sleep during the week. It's a tremendous, tremendous tikkun for a person's lack of learning during the week, because the meichen that a person has on Shabbos don't compare at all to what he gets, what he has during the week. They're much, much higher, and a person has to take advantage of that. Or again, Shabbos, the morning, those early hours of the morning, either one of those times, a person has to try. And when a person has their kids available to them, you have to remind yourself of the mitzvah v'shinantam levonecha, not just to look at them as a moineya in avodas Hashem. One of the biggest mitzvahs that a Jew has in this world is the dor l'dor yishabach masecha, to pass on to the next generation the greatness of Hashem. When a person finds himself in a situation where their children are with them, they have to look for ways to take advantage of that. In other words, not necessarily to push that away. That's a bechinas talmud that's required to be mashlib every single person's avodas Hashem. And until a person has children, there's something missing in this nekudas talmud. Something that's very, very beneficial to a person's avodah, no question.
Rabbeinu Zal is implying here that simply by having, this das, you will get this of yira on Shabbat.
Right.
How you account for, let's say, you know, those types of talmidei chachamim were supposedly ones who know the das is okay, but it's the yira that's the problem. Or they have the das, but they don't fulfill what they learn.
Could be. Part of what they're lacking in is this mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. Now, as Rabbeinu Zal seems to be teaching us here, that one of the greatest segulos for this tikkun hayira is simcha on Shabbos. Now, there are people that take that lightly. There are people who on Shabbos, they have the same teira that they have during the week. In other words, there's no concept of einig Shabbos for them. There's no concept of simcha on Shabbos for them. They don't sing Zmiras Nadavos. Rabbeinu Zal here, in talking about simcha, we're going to see when we deal with the Meforshim a little here, that Rabbeinu Zal is talking about ta'anugim, in other words, a pleasure eating, much better on Shabbos than a person does in the week, and taking note of that. In other words, really making that meal very, very special. And the again, the singing, the zmirois in the tefillah, in the Friday night, in shul, and at home, accentuating that very, very much, making that a major avodah on Shabbos. And Rabbeinu Zal says that that's what leads to this Shleimus Hayira. It could be the fact that some people take those items lightly, that's what's lacking, that's what causes this deficiency in the Hira, in the Frumkeit, as we're going to see. We're going to see when we discuss this a little bit more. First, we're going to finish the Torah. Then we're going to do a little bit of what's in the Meforshim and in Likutei Halacha is about this, Mitzvah Shem. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'haklal, and the rule is, She'tzorech linhoig simcha gedayla b'Shabbos Kodesh, that a Jew has to conduct himself with tremendous simcha on Shabbos. U'levli laharois shum atzbus v'daigo klal, and not to show any type of sadness or worry whatsoever. Rak lehisanag al Hashem, only to
luxuriate.
I know to swim in luxury, like that kind of thing, on Hashem, like on Hashem's cheshbon. Ula harbois b'tanuge Shabbos b'chol minei tanug, and to go big on the pleasures of Shabbos in every form of pleasure. Hein achilu shtia, this applies to eating and drinking. And here again, those people who follow Rabbeinu Zal's way of life, where a person avoids drinking any wine or any whiskey, any intoxicating beverage during the week, such a person tastes wine on Shabbos, on Friday night for Kiddush or Shabbos morning, it's special, it's an oinig, it's unique. This is something that I fast, I abstain from it 6 days a week. One day a week I have it. To such a person, he's the bechina of tiroish, where the yayin elevates zocha nasaroish. The yayin elevates the moichin. He's zocha to this shleimus hayira. Whereas again, if a person doesn't follow Rabbeinu Zal's advice, people who drink regularly, that kind of thing, it subtracts from this yayin being able to affect the person in this beneficial way. The achila again, people who during the week go big on eating. In other words, they're interested in enjoying. Every meal is an experience to them. Breakfast, it's a whole procedure with all kinds of different dishes. And lunch and supper, each thing is a main thing. Such a person, when it comes to Shabbos, the meals aren't that much special. Whereas a person who during the week is mistopic, he goes in for tremendous istopkos, he tries to keep the meals as simple as possible. Seriously. Whereas on Shabbos, it's just the opposite. Here again, his body notices a major difference between Shabbos and the weekdays. Mibsori ech selekai. When the body feels this extra pleasure, the neshama reacts to it also. And the neshama's reaction is in this form of yira, this simcha that goes together with yira. So it's all totally in how much of a difference, a line of demarcation there is between the weekdays versus Shabbos. Hein malbushin, also with clothes. How much a person is medaktik in his clothing during the week to be wearing special, beautiful clothing versus the Shabbos. We know that during the week, again, there's an Indian of histapkus, not dressing extra special, not being super polished. Whereas on Shabbos, every iota of neatness and cleanliness that a person can add to make it nicer is special. And all of these things, if a person does it, these all add to this definition of the word, the oimek. Kifi ma shiochel, within a person's means. Ki achila Shabbos hi kula ruchnius, because the eating of Shabbos is all spiritual. Kulay kodesh, it's all holy. And here Rabbeinu Zal is not quoting his own words, he's quoting the Mishnas Chasidim, which is a summary of the Kisvei Arizal that was written by one of the Mekubalim. That's where it's written, that's where this Yisoid is written, the fact that the Achila Shabbos, even if a person eats more, now the more doesn't mean till he's busting, the more means that during the week there's a tremendous mitzvah never to walk away from the table full, to always walk away not more than two-thirds full, whereas on Shabbos, you are permitted to go that extra third. That extra third is like the oinig. Whereas if a person eats more than full, where he's busting or uncomfortable, that's a different story completely. That the Sforum warn against. But this issue of not walking away from the table hungry, which you strive for during the week, that's this additional achil of Shabbos Kodesh. Rabbi Elazar says that's kulay kodesh. Va'oila lamokoyim acher legamri min achilas choyl. And it goes, this food goes to a different place completely than if a person were to eat this additional food during the weekdays. During the weekdays, if a person eats additional food, it's called maisrois. Maisrois always go to the klipa. On Shabbos, if a person eats this additional food, it goes to a place of kedusha. It adds to the kedusha. Kimavur b'mokam achar, as is explained in a few other Torahs of Likutei Moran, Torah Nun Vov, Torah Reish Ayin Zayin, in the first part of Likutei Moran, and in the Zohar Kodesh Vayakel, and the Sefer Mikdash Melech on the Zohar Kodesh, where they talk a lot about the importance of eating very well on Shabbos Kodesh. Period. This is one section of this Torah. Now we're going to discuss a second section, which seems at first not to be related at all whatsoever, and yet we're going to see that it's very, very closely related. Now, by the way, just to stop for a second, there's one nekuda, and here again we're talking personal. This is a more personal type of shir, where we're permitted to say certain feelings that are personal feelings. There's one item that stands out in my mind very, very, very much from, we're very close, it's a few days before the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Yochai Zichron Levracha. There was one item that I remember that he mentioned in Shiurim that always was very, very indelibly ingrained in my mind, how much he stressed what an incredible high madrega of Kedusha this is. And it's called the concept of Tshuva Me'ahava. The Gemara in Yuma discusses two types of tshuva. A tshuva that a person does, meyira, a person becomes aware that there's a din v'cheshbon in heaven, and he realizes that he did a lot of things, chas v'shalom, which he's going to be punished for. And as such, when he realizes and he starts to believe that there is this heavenly court and there is this punishment, he starts doing tshuva. He starts apologizing and telling Hashem he's never going to do it again. That's a tshuva meyira. The Gemara discusses a concept of tshuva me'ahava, where a person develops a love for Hashem, a person gets a recognition, he begins to understand and really believe that there is Hashem, and how much good Hashem has done for him up until this point in time, which he wasn't deserving of, and how good Hashem is to have created a world, and Abaycher B'Am Yisrael be'ahava, especially the Am Yisrael, how thankful we have to be at Hashem, and all of these feelings of ahava towards Hashem, and the tshuva comes from ahava. I remember the way Rabbi Yochai Zal used to be magzim, like he used to say, wow, if a person had any idea what this means, they would do anything in the world to be zechet to this madrega of tshuva me'ahava, because we know the Gemara says that if a person does tshuva me'yira, their sins are forgiven, they're erased, they can get their balance from minus 10,000, bring it up to zero, which is a major accomplishment. Whereas the Gemara says, when a person is zeichet to do tshuva me'ahava, his averos actually get converted to mitzvos. This is such an incredible, incredible accomplishment that there's nothing better that you could imagine. That Rabbi Zal used to say, that Rav Koch Leizal said, out of all the different mitzvahs, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and Peyus and a beard, all the different things, the highest mitzvah is Kiruv Nefoshos, Im Toitzi Yokor Mizoilel, to take something ugly, smelly, bad, to take a chayte, and to make him do tshuva, to convert him to a Baal tshuva. The greatest example of Im Toitzi Yokor Mizoilel is tshuva me'avo, where a person takes each one of his smelly sins and converts it into a mitzvah. Nirdi Nosan Reichoi, he takes the sin and converts it into a mitzvah. This is just fantastic. You know, it's one of the highest examples of a madrega in Kedusha. Rabbi Elazar says in Likutei Moran that this concept of tshuva me'ahava is the concept of Shabbos. Shabbos is tshuva me ahava. So in other words, if a person wants to know the most opportune time conceivable to be mispalel for tshuva me ahava, it's Shabbos. And if a person wants to know at what time a person can be margish this, in other words, I want to feel a feeling of real sincerity of tshuva me ahava, the best time is Shabbos. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains, let's study these two words, tshuva me ahava. Tshuva is Shabbos, v'shavta ad Hashem lekecha. Shabbos is tshuva. Ahava, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, I believe, that says, Ahava b'ta'anugim. Ahava b'ta'anugim. Love comes through ta'anugim. Ta'anugim is an idiom of oineg Shabbos. Oz tesarag l'Hashem, this pasuk is written about Shabbos. So that Rabbeinu Zal brings an eternally good Imran that Shabbos Kodesh is this whole concept of tshuva me'ahava. This is the time that a person could hope to feel this the most. And this is part of what a person has to think about when they're eating and all the hispanidus of Shabbos, to try to rise to this madrega that with the zechus of the kedusha of Shabbos itself, to be zechut to this level of tshuva me'ahava. Halavai, we should be zechut to it.
When is it classified as by a person that he has reached this tshuva me'ahava? When he's said it verbally to Hashem, when he's felt it, what's necessary for a person to be considered to have reached that level?
Number one, to vocalize it, to say it. Number two, to mean it. Number three, to feel it. You know, all of these items. To mean it obviously means never to return to those sins again. And to do it again, not so much from fear as much from love. Now, Rabbeinu Zal said, we don't disqualify Yira Sodesh. We don't take Yira Sodesh lightly, or we don't take Yira Bechla lightly. But there's no question at all that this Madrega of Ahava is higher. So a person has to build from Yira to Ahava. So far we've explained that Shabbos is a concept of Yira and Das B'Shleimus. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss another item which seems at first not to be related, and again, it's very, very much related. Rabbeinu Zal says, Derech Hashem Yisborach Lahabit Al HaToivois She'oisen. It's the path of Hashem, it's the nature of Hashem to look at the good that people do. And although there is found in each and every person things that are not good, the nature of Hashem is that he avoids looking at that. Hashem has a filter on his eyes whereby he filters out the bad and he sees only good. Why? Rabbi Yossi Zal explains the Likutei Halachos, because the pasuk says, Toiv Hashem Lakoil. Because of the fact that Hashem himself is Toiv, only Toiv, Kulay Toiv, therefore the nature of Hashem is to see only Toiv. Hashem is associated with Toiv. So too, with the true tzaddikim amitim who are mizdamden liyitzron, such as Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Zohar Kodesh says that the letters of the word Moshe are identical to the word Hashem, as we say it, so too by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah HaKadosha testifies that when Basia Basparoi saw him, Vatera Oisai Ki Toivu, she saw that he was good. She saw that he was good. He was literally this Bechina like Hashem. He was Kulay Toiv. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu again, when he looked at Klal Yisrael, he was able to see only good in them. He was able to find good in them even when they were at their lowest low, even at the time of the Egel HaZohav or other times. He was able to be Melamed Zechus on them because he saw only good, because he emulated this Derech Hashem Yisbarach Lahabit Al HaTov Yishoysen. Rabbeinu Zal says, we see this in a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Lohibit oven b'Yaakov, that Hashem does not see bad in Yaakov, in Bnei Yisrael. Now note, this is mentioned specifically about Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu represents this Ayin Toiv. If you recall, we mentioned, we're up to Parshas Vayishlach, Vayeshev now, the psukim, the Parshas that deal with Yaakov Avinu versus Esav HaRosha. The army of Esav HaRosha was 400 men, which Rabbeinu Zal says represents the Ra Ayin. 400 is Begematria Ra Ayin. Ra Ayin represents Esav HaRosha. Lahavdol, Yaakov Avinu is the one about whom the Pasuk says, Toiv Ayin Hu Yevoirach. The one who has a good eye, he's the one who is Molei Berkas Hashem, who is the one who is able to give his kids the brachos and everything, the source of bracha. We once mentioned that Toiv Ayin is the years of Yaakov Avinu. If you look at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, it says that Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim Shvayas Reishono. Yaakov Avinu lived in Egypt 17 years, which is Bigamatria Toiv. And outside of Egypt, he lived 130 years, which is Bigamatria, the word Ayin. So that Yaakov Avinu is this Bechina of Toiv Ayin. About him, the Pasuk says, Lehibit Oven B'Yaakov. Hashem doesn't see anything negative in Yaakov Avinu. So Rabbi Nizal says now, if that's how Hashem acts, Makol Shkein, how much more so, Sheho'odom Osurloi Lahabit Al Chaveroi Lero. It is forbidden for a Jew to look for bad in his friend, Limtsay Boydafko Masheinoi Toiv, to look to find only the negative points in the person, what's bad about him, and to search to find deficiencies, defects in the avoid of his friend. This is something that's osur. Rak adarabba, just the opposite. A Jew is obligated to look only for the good within fellow Jews. Period. This is a mission. This is a chiyuv, Rabbi Nizal was saying. Now the question is, how is this associated with Shabbos? Because Shabbos is this bechina of kulay toiv. Shabbos is this concept of toiv ayin. The word Shabbos itself, the shin, stands for the tlas gavan in the ena, the three parts of the eye. The bas represents the bas ayin, the pupil of the eye. Shabbos kodesh represents being able to see properly, being able to see well. The whole concept that the Gemara says that during the week, a person runs, takes big steps, it subtracts from the eyesight. By a person, Mikdusha de Beishimshi, by being Mikapal Shabbos, the Kiddush on Friday night, brings about a tikkun for the eyes. This tikkun for the eyes, this tikkun of the Yira, Rabbi Nizal brings another teres on the Kutim Aram, that Yira is Re'iya. This Yira Bishlemus is what gives a person this power of sight, this power of Das, this power of Sechel. And when a Jew has real Sechel, he is able to look for the good in everything. Those people who are always able to find problems, always able to find things that are wrong with their situation, that's a person who's not a bardas, that's an idiot. The smart one is one who, no matter what kind of situation he's in, he's able to find a nekuda tov in the situation. He's able to identify the batzor hechavtali. He's able to identify the nekuda tov, the azamra l'kai b'yodi, in himself or in other people. That's this das of Shabbos Kodesh. When we say the person goes out of golus, golus is this mechen nekatnus, this sadness, this depression, this tzimtzum, where a person only sees bad, he sees a bleak picture during the week. Shabbos is olam acherus, mechen negatlus, when a person is supposed to see only good around him, and the fact that he's eating exceptionally good foods, and he's dressing exceptionally well, and he's in this happy frame of mind, he's supposed to use all of this to be able to see good, wherever he looks, to see only good. Just as the story of Rabbi Shimon Yochoizal and Rabbi Elazar, his son, that they went into the cave, and first when they came out, they were in a bechin of meichin the katnus. So wherever they looked, they saw bad, their eyes burned up what they saw. Then Hashem said, you came out to destroy my world, go back. They went back in for another year, and that year elevated them to a still higher madrega. The madrega of tzaddik is not one who can look and kill. The tzaddik is the one who can look, and wherever he looks, he brings about a tikkun. This bechin of Shabbos, which is the name of the tzaddik emes, unto Shabbos de kula yaymi, who's able to have this tikkun ho'einayim, where the eyes are so good that he's able to see only good. With his eyes, he's able to be mamshich a tikkun into other people. Rabbi Nizal says now, Velozer, and for this reason, Toivo Gedoilo Sheyesh Teva Vahashkocho. It's a tremendous favor And it's of tremendous benefit to us, the Klal Yisrael, that there exist two states of Hashem. Kaviyachol Hashem can be in one of two different states. Teva, nature, as it's called, or Hashkocha. Hashkocha means Hashem's highest level of supervision. Rabbi Nezal explains, when a person is doing good, when his standing with Hashem is a good one, then Hashem supervises that person very, very carefully. Hashem watches him very closely. Whereas when a person is chas v'shalom not good, and if Hashem were scrutinizing him just as carefully as he does when he is good, there'd be no way in the world for Hashem to give that person any type of good whatsoever. If a person's child is behaving well and you're watching his every move, you're quelling from every move he makes. Every move he makes, you want to do something more for him. You want to give him another piece of ice cream, another piece of candy. If the child is bad, if you watch him carefully while he's being bad, every second while he's bad is giving you more of an excuse to want to hit him or to want to take things away from him. So Rabbi Nezal says, therefore, it's a tremendous benefit for us that Hashem has both Teva and Hashkocha, that when we're good, Hashem looks at us very, very carefully and he quells from every move we make. When we're bad, Kaviyachol Hashem turns away from us. He doesn't look at us. What do we say in V'chol Ma'aminim? Umalim Ayin Misairim. Hashem turns away his eyes, hides his eyes Misairim, from those who are Sorim and Aderech, from those who have turned away from the proper path. Why? Rabbi Nezal says, because if he were watching you closely, it would eliminate the possibility of him doing anything good for you. Therefore, what does he do? Azai meiniach oisai al hateva. Hashem places this person on a different gear. Hashem shifts gears in his hanhoga with this person, and he puts this person on the path called teva, nature, the norm, you know, the normal way of the world. Then it's a matter of chance, sort of, whereby it is possible for this person's mazel to happen to be that on that day he could get something from Hashem, although he's not really deserving of it. And if there were only Hashkocha, it would be possible for the Hashkocha to get knocked out completely. Why? When Hashem would see that a person isn't acting properly, Hashem would get real angry. Hashem would chas v'shalom eliminate the Hashkocha for this person entirely, and there'd be no chance of ever going back to this level called Hashkocha. Aval achshov, but now that Kaviyochol Hashem has these two hands, like, he has two ways of dealing, he can shift gears easily, meinichoy al piateva, Hashem simply shifts into the mode called teva, ukishu chayzel amutov, when the person goes back to being good, mashkiacholov, that's when Hashem looks at him again, more closely, in this scrutinizing manner. Rabbi Nezal says, however, this sounds like an explanation. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ube'emes," but in truth, "Ein onu yecheilen lohovin bahu teva v'hashkocha." We cannot really understand what is teva and what is hashkocha. Ki be'emes, because in truth, gam hateva hi hashkochose yisporach. Hateva, the nature, is also Hashem. It's also the supervision of Hashem. Because we said Hateva is Begematria Elohim. And we say that the name of Hashem Elohim represents Teva. The name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei represents the Hashkocha Prati. And on Yom Kippur we say Hashem Hu Ho Elohim. That Hashem and Elohim are actually one and the same. Because Ho Elohim is actually a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. It's the Din and the Chesed merged together. So Rabbeinu Zal says, V'zeh i'efshir l'odom l'hovin beis dvorim ke'echod. Therefore, it's impossible for us human beings to be able to understand how these two items, which appear to be opposites, are actually one. Dahainu, which are Hateva, which is the one item, Sheba Emes, Hi Hashkachos Yisporach. The Teva itself is an aspect of the Hashkach of Hashem. So that Rabbeinu Zal is saying, as much as we're given to understand about this, obviously there's a lot we don't understand, because the fact remains that these two terms are antonyms. Teva is an antonym to Hashkacha, and yet we say that they're both one. How do you explain that? That's one of the paradoxes, which obviously we will not be zeichet to understand until the V'hoya Yoyim Echad Yivod Al Hashem. There'll come a time when Kimol HaHoretz Deyas Hashem will get to understand Hashem better, and that's when we'll understand the true meaning of Teva and Hashkacha. Now note, Teva is the basic hanhog of Hashem with the world during the 6 days of the week, where there's a bechin of din, whereas on Shabbos, what do we say in Kigavna? V'chol shultone rugzin, u'mori dedino kulu arkin, that the whole concept of din leaves on Shabbos. Shabbos, the Elokim, the Hateva, leaves, and Shabbos we have the super hashgacha of Hashem. The Shabbos, the Tlas Gavnin Ne'ena Ubasayim, the Hashem looking at us much, much more carefully. Because Shabbos is a bechina of tshuva, a concept of a time when we're all much better. Those who are zecher to be shemer Shabbos, keep Shabbos, that's a time when we're very, very much in the good graces of Hashem. That's when this hashgacha shines on us in a tremendous way. So that now we see how this whole last paragraph is very much tied into what we learned before. Because this whole concept of being able to look for the good in people is all totally in this Kiddush of Shabbos. That when a person himself is in an atzvus, when a person himself is in a shibud, it's hard for him to be able to see bad, to see good in other people. Because the whole concept of being able to see good in other people is only when the person themselves is good. Rav Moshe Zal explains and stresses in Likutei Halachos that because Moshe Rabbeinu was toiv, therefore when he looked at other people, he was able to identify only with the toiv in them. So too with a person, when at a time when a person is a bechin of toiv, a bechin of good, a bechin of tshuva, a bechin of yira b'shleimus and das b'shleimus, that's when he's zeichet to be able to see only good in other people, not to see bad. And here again is the reason why a person has to be medaktik, more so on Shabbos than any other time, to go for this looking for good, this looking for the kudus toivos, which is called the limud of
Azamra.
This is why, again, there's such tremendous emphasis on Zmirois, on Shabbos. Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likutei Moharan that Zmirois is this whole union of being mevarer, the toiv from the ra, picking out the good. Because the musical notes, the pauses, where the exact place where the note fits in is this concept of being mevarer, toiv, from among ra, from the pauses, from the spaces, picking out the good notes from a whole assortment of notes which are not acceptable. Each time you pick out the good note, you're suppressing the bad notes, the notes which could mess up this melody. That's this whole concept of the Zmirois that we sing on Shabbos. This is why there's so much emphasis in singing with koyach, either in shul or at one's own table. This is all mesugal to help a person be zeichet to really identify with this limud of Azamra, of being able to look to see only good, wherever he looks, to be able to see toiv. And this is also tied in with this concept of teva and hashgacha, how a person gets to understand how every hanhoga that we have from Hashem is good. Rabbi Zal explains in Likutei Halachos that if the Gemara tells us that a person is supposed to believe that everything Hashem does is for the good, then why is it that when a person gets sick, we make a mishaberach? What's the explanation? The answer is because ein yisurim b'lo yavoin. We know that generally when a person gets sick, it's a sign that this person did something wrong. Because he did something wrong, if Hashem would be looking at him very closely, it would result, chas v'shalom, in tremendous suffering. Therefore, Hashem turns away. Hashem puts him into this hateva, which is begimatria lekim, which is din, which is yisurim, which is suffering, any type of suffering. When we daven for this person to have a refuah shleima, what we're really davening for is one of two things. Either this person should be zeche to tshuva. If ein yisurin b'lo yavoin, then when we're asking for the yisurin to leave, we mean, obviously, that the avoinis should leave. We're asking that he should be zeche to a tshuva shleima, so that all his sins should disappear. That's the key to having the yisurin disappear. Either that, or to be zeche to have the level of das that's needed to be able to be mekabel the yisurin bi'ava, that Hashem should gift the person with the... Now, if we see that the person is suffering from the illness, then it's a sign that the illness is not a good one. It's not yisurin shelava. If the person has the das to be able to be mekabel the yisurin bi'ava, then the yisurin is certainly to the person's advantage. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? Now, we're just going to cover one or two items that are pointed out in the Mefarshim. We don't have to do it necessarily inside. I'll try to talk it out outside. One of the places in the Parporis L'Chachma where Rabbi Nachman Shigurin Zal says something that relates to this Torah is that in the Parporis L'Chachma on Torah Yud Gimel in Likut Imran Chelek Aleph, in the paragraph Vav, towards the bottom, there Rabbi Nachman Shigurin Zal is talking about another chapter in Likut Imran where Rabbi Zal addresses this issue of Hashgacha. And Rabbi Nachman Shigurin Zal just emphasizes that this thing that Rabbi Zal says that applies to an individual, that when the individual is good, Hashem has the hashkocha, and when the individual is bad, there's the sanhoga of hateva. This also applies to the world on a larger scale, because the Gemara says that Hashem, when Hashem judges the world, how does He judge us? Al pi roiv. If the majority of the world is good, then the whole world is judged for the good. If the majority of the world is bad, the whole world is judged for the bad. And here also it applies in this form of hateva versus hashkocha. That if we want to be mamshech the hashkocha prati of Hashem on us, it's totally in a majority of the world being good. And this is why each time a person is going to be mekari of somebody else to frukkeit, he's doing such a tremendous avodah, because that's the potential of tipping the scale, of being able to add on one more person to the side of good that can tip the whole world. If the world were 50-50, without one item, he can tip the whole world l'tov to take us out of this hanhoga of hateva and bring us into this hanhoga of hashkocha. Then in Torah Kuf Chaf Hei in Likud Imran, Rabbi Elazar there zeroes in on the talking about Achila Shabbos, about the union of Ichluhu Hayoim Ki Shabbos Hayim L'Shem Alekecha. Rabbi Elazar there says that during the week, when a person eats, he's usually eating for one of two reasons. Either because he hasn't eaten for a substantial period of time, and as such, pangs of hunger are affecting him, or because right now he's not really hungry at all. He doesn't feel hungry at all, but he thinks that there's going to be a period of time that for the next 4 or 5 hours he's not going to be able to eat, and he's going to develop a hunger, so he's taking a precaution in eating in advance now when he's not really hungry, so that it should cover him for that time later when he thinks he would get hungry if he weren't eating. Rabbi Nazal says this is how a person eats during the week. Whereas on Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Ichluhu Hayoim, that there's tremendous significance to eating on Shabbos just for the sake of Shabbos itself. So Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal says, if that's the case, it would seem that there's a little bit of a shaila on one of the things that are stressed very much in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it's brought that there's a tremendous mitzvah to abstain from eating on Erev Shabbos. There were tzaddikim who fasted on Erev Shabbos, or at least, the halacha is, you're not allowed to be koivea asuda from chatzos and on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to have any substantial meal to eat, so as to be able to come into Shabbos hungry. So it would seem to imply that when I'm going to sit down to eat on Friday night, why am I eating? Because I'm hungry because I didn't eat from 12 o'clock. So that's not this bechina of ichluhu hayoim. I'm not giving tremendous respect to the meal of Shabbos itself. I'm eating sort of for Friday. Rabbi Nachman Shigurin Zal explains, no, that would be if this were not done consciously. If unconsciously a person doesn't get to eat and he goes into Shabbos hungry, then you could say that his meal on Shabbos is sort of going for Friday. But if a person who has the availability, he has food available, he could eat Friday, and he intentionally pushes the food aside so as to have a better appetite, so that when he eats the food on Shabbos, he should enjoy it more, because he knows that a person that enjoys what he's eating more or less, depending on how hungry he is at the time, then it's just the opposite. Then his achil of Shabbos is the highest. It's not that his eating is for Friday. On the contrary, he's showing that his eating is definitely hayoim, because he had the opportunity to eat before, but he consciously didn't want to. He forced himself not to. Then he's showing that, haha, I'm not eating now because I was hungry before, because I could have taken food before. My only reason for hungering myself was to ensure that the quality of simcha, the quality of enjoyment that I would get out of this food that I'm having on Friday night would be on 100% one. And I know that it's dependent on how hungry I am. Therefore, I make myself hungry just so that the enjoyment that I get from the food on Shabbos should be maximized. It should be the most that I possibly can. Those are two items that Rav Nachman Shmuelzal points out related to the importance of Achila Shabbos. We had recently, if you recall, where we discussed the Torah's Likutei Moran, Ayin Mekayim Kevodai, combined with Azamra, based on Halacha Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal explained the Agarat in the Gemara, which says, why is it that the roosters, their bottom lid goes up, you know, not like other animals? And the Gemara said, because they stand on beams, and they would, if they would look down, they would be afraid, they'd fall off. That's why, in other words, Hashem made them in such a way. And we said this standing on beams, the Pasuk says, Kairois Botenu Arozim, that the beams refer to the beams of the Mishkan. It's those tzaddikim specifically who are in the habit of building a Mishkan, where their avoda is this building of the Mishkan, this Hevel Peh, the Tinoi Kishel Bais Rabin, the Hevel Peh Shein Bai Chait, the whole explanation that Rabbeinu Zal gives in Torah Reish Peh Beis and Likud Imran, those tzaddikim, the only thing that gives them the power to be machzir people in tshuva, to wake up people from their sleep, the rooster is the one whose job it is to wake people up, people that are sleeping, to wake them up. What gives these tzaddikim the power to arouse people in tshuva? The fact that they're able to only look up. They can't look down. They can't see bad. They only see good. And this is the bechina of Rabbi Shimon Yochoizal, where his talmidim said, "Antu Shabbos de kula yomi." It's these tzaddikim who are called the bechina of Shabbos. They are the Shabbos. They are the ones who are this bechina of tshuva, v'shavta Hashem Elokecha. They're the true baal tshuva, the ones who are able to make the most number of people b'chazer b'tshuva. How do they do it? By this power of being able not to look down. They only can look up. Their eyelids are constructed in such a way, they force their eyes only to be able to see good in people, not to see bad. And this is something that a person has to work on themselves very much. And here again, talking from personal experience, there is a very, very big Yetzer Hara that affects every person. I'm talking from my own personal examples, where you look around yourself, you're standing in shul, you see people, and you're able to make up lists, mental lists, of hundreds of things that you see wrong with each person. This person is walking wrong, he's talking wrong, he's davening wrong, everything about him is wrong. You could look at it that way. Or, if you force yourself, it's possible to see only good. Just to be Malamed Zchus alone, the fact that we're all standing in shul, we're davening with a minyan, where the Torah HaKdoshah testifies that Akol Bei Asora Shchinta Sharia, that any time you have 10 Jews get together, you're guaranteed that the Shechina is with them. That means each and every single one of us who's in shul has the Shechina upon him. Which means if you're going to look at bad in any person standing there, chas v'shalom, you're going to be looking at bad in the Shechina itself. Because without any person that's there, any person missing from the minyan, subtracting from the minyan, you alone could not draw the Shechina. Unless we think we're such a big tzaddikim that the Shechina rests on us alone, fine. If not, which is obviously the truth, then each one of us is dependent on the other one for this hashras hashchina. So if it's the one who's sitting next to you or across from you or whatever, that in his zechus, without him we couldn't have this hashras hashchina. With him, yes, then no matter what he's doing and how uncomfortable it is and how unpleasant it is, we have to force ourselves to try to see only good. And by doing this, this is part of being mashlim the avodah of Shabbos Kodesh. And certainly this doesn't apply only to Shabbos. A person is supposed to try to bring the Shabbos into the weekdays. This applies during the weekdays also. But especially when it comes to Shabbos, there's a special Yetzer Hara against this. And each and every one of us is responsible to fight this, to do battle against this. Rabbeinu Zal, in the culture, in the Breslava culture, we're taught exactly how a Breslava is supposed to act. And one of the Isurim that Rabbeinu Zal imposes on all of his Talmidim is this issue of looking for bad. In other words, that we have to force ourselves, train ourselves, to see only good, to try as much as possible to see only good in each and every single one that's there. And again, Rabbeinu Zal points out, although we know that there are chesronos, it's not that we're total nincompoops, we don't acknowledge the chesron, but you force yourself to suppress it as much as possible, to keep that out of your mind, out of your eyes, and to be able to keep only in your mind, only the toiv. Period. Halavai, halavai, we should be zecha to do this well. We should get to be real, genuine Breslov Hasidim.
How could a tzaddik give most of them to somebody
if he's asher yehav Hashem yechiach. The fact that he's being moichiach, Rabbeinu Zal says this about Hashem and about tzaddikim. The fact that a tzaddik is moichiach shows that he realizes that there's something to work with this person. Otherwise, he wouldn't say anything. It's only when you see all bad in a person, when you see that a person is a total shlemazalnik, to such a person you don't give teichacha to, because I'm going to talk, it's not going to do me any good. The fact itself that he's being meichiach is a sign that he sees good in the person. Otherwise, he wouldn't have an excuse to be mechiyach. Unless he saw something to build on, unless he saw Yira Shemayim in the person, so if this person is Yira Shemayim, then it's possible for him to accept Teichacha. If not for that, then I have no sense in being mechiyach. Unless, chas v'shalom, you have people, the Gemara says, mischaved b'kolein chaveroi, chas v'shalom. You have a person who, in order to make himself feel good, chas v'shalom, because he knows he has a lot of chesronos, he figures the best defense is a good offense. The best way to defend himself, to make himself impenetrable, is by constantly knocking other people, by making them feel low, they could not see the chesronos in him, chas v'shalom. Those are the two samples. So by tzaddikim, it's the teichocha, it's the eis asher yehav Hashem yechiyah. By those who aren't tzaddikim, chas v'shalom, it's this aveira of miskabed b'kolei nechaveroi, which is a tremendous thing. It's the exact opposite. The exact opposite. Baruch Hashem. Now again, for those that want to become familiar with the Likutei Moran, you have to start making certain associations in your mind, that if somebody ever mentions to you the topic of Shabbos, to remember that there are 6 or 7 outstanding Torahs in Likutei Moran that deal with the topic of Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos. Torah Nun Vav Nun Zayin, Torah Resh Ayin Zayin is a major Torah, this Torah Yud Zayin Likutei Moran, these are the major Torah Kuf Chaf Hei Yechlu. Those Torahs are the ones that deal primarily with Rabbeinu Zal's attitude towards Shmira Shabbos, to the Achila Shabbos, and how to look at people on Shabbos, and all the things, all the mitzvahs that pertain to the Kedusha of Shabbos. Baruch Hashem.